Well, I wonder if you've ever had time when you face significant challenges, but when it was all said and done, you experienced God working on your behalf in significant ways. That's really what we're going to see this morning as we again open our Bibles to Joshua, the Old Testament book of Joshua. We're ready for chapter 10, picking up where we left off last week in the sermon series. And I've entitled the message, God Shows Himself Strong. But it almost seems like I should have called it God Shows Himself Strong Again, because it really is a thing that the Israelites and God's people and you and I experience again and again. Well, as we look at verses 1 to 6 to start with, we see that the Israelites faced opposition. Verses 1 to 6 in Joshua 10 says, "Now it came to pass, when Adoni Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore, Adoni Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent Ahoam, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon, saying, 'Come up to me and help me, that we may attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel.' Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon gathered together, went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp at Gilgal, saying, 'Do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us.'" Opposition. There were five kings that formed a coalition. They gathered together their armies and they declared war. This was not something that could be ignored. This wasn't just it wasn't just a situation where somebody was voting no for the local school levy, or it wasn't just somebody out there protesting they didn't want a particular new business or whatever to come into town. It wasn't just a matter of someone not liking the color of the new carpet in the lobby. This was a big deal. According to verse 6, all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. So, couldn't be ignored. It's not something that would disappear. This was not something that the Israelites could approach in a nonchalant kind of manner. Now, all this reminds me of another incident that couldn't be ignored. It was the time when the Israelites faced the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them, and a fellow by the name of Goliath stepped out of the Philistine camp. And this guy was almost 10 feet tall. And having this giant challenged them caused the Israelites to be dismayed and greatly afraid. We read about that in 1 Samuel 17:11. It talks about the fact that they were dismayed and afraid. Now, what was the challenge? Goliath challenged Saul and his guys to pick out a man who would fight with him or against him one-on-one. And he presented himself and made this challenge every morning and every evening for 40 days. And then we have a young shepherd boy by the name of David. who caught wind of what was going on. And he volunteered to be that individual that would stand up to, that would stand up against Goliath. People thought it was crazy. I mean, really? A boy like David to take on a giant like Goliath? You got to be kidding. And especially after David decided this armor that he had tried on really wasn't the thing for him to do, and so he discarded that. And it was really no match. But there is something that you and I need to be reminded of in this entire incident. So let's pick up with the story. We're turning now to 1 Samuel chapter 17, picking up with verse 40. 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, that's David. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For what? The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." We ought to circle that phrase. The battle is the Lord's. Then what happened? Was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so the stone sank in his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Well, have you been facing something significant, something major, perhaps something life-changing, a gigantic problem, an issue, a challenge that looks formidable, perhaps something that is obviously beyond your ability to deal with? If so, please note that David was not approaching the giant on his own strength. He stated very explicitly that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Now, another incident where people faced opposition is recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'd like us to notice this morning what was said there in verses 1, 2, and 3. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazeron Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah that came to seek the Lord. So, think about it here. Is there something that has caused you to be fearful? Now, it may not be an army that's coming against us. Perhaps some other burden or concern or challenge. If so, the thing that may be most needful and most helpful is what was the case here with out of the incident that I just shared. What was that? It was to pray. It was actually, the call was to pray and fast, to seek the Lord. By the way, do you remember the time that Jesus said to his disciples, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. It's in Matthew 6, 17 and 18. So, what happened after those heeded the call of Jehoshaphat to seek the Lord and to fast? Well, notice carefully what's said in verses 14 and 15. Same chapter here, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all of you, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For what? The battle is not yours, but God's. Yeah, say that phrase with me. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Sometimes we feel a little overwhelmed, don't we, with issues and things of life, whatever the twists and turns that may come our way. But if that's the case, please know that the Lord wants us to transfer those burdens and those concerns onto Him. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5 and 6, that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may what? Exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He cares for you. So you may come up against any number of challenges in life, but need not be defeated. Why? Because in actuality, the battle isn't ours. It's God's. Because deliverance is of the Lord. Because when we think about it, Jesus resurrected from the dead. And He became victor. And He is Lord. And He invites us to come to Him. Well, the Israelites faced opposition. The second thing we want to notice in our text this morning is that the Lord took care of things. Let's look at verses 7 to 15 now. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter in Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makeda. And it happened, as they fled before Israel, and were on the descent of Beth Horon that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. And there were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with a sword. Wow. Talk about how great is our God, huh? Then Joshua, verse 12, spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. Have you ever wondered how things would unfold or how they would come together given the circumstances of the moment? Things may have looked nigh impossible given the challenges at hand, but then God did something absolutely amazing here in this account that we just read. I had to think about some of the mission trips over the years. And in particular, the first one, a group from here was planning to go to Guatemala. And I don't remember the exact dollar amount involved. Do you remember Stan Jacobs? But what I do remember is Stan calling me and saying, "You know, I was planning to call you to say that I am simply not able to go on this trip, as much as I would like to, as much as I would feel good about doing this. Simply, the money simply is not available." And then it became clear that an extraordinary God was at work, because you'd have to tell the story, Stan, but the fact of the matter is that something happened totally out of the blue. And just like that, he had handed to him the total amount that he needed, and you were the first guy that was totally funded for that trip to Guatemala. Yes. How great is our God? Amen. Yeah. It's just absolutely incredible. And sometimes, you know, we are, in our humanness, we're tempted to shorten the arm of the Lord, to use that phrase, and wonder whether he still is mighty or not. But did you notice how the Lord provided for the Israelites? According to verse 11, it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more that died from hailstones than the children of Israel killed with a sword. Now, do you suppose that the children of Israel envisioned, they thought, if we pray about this, God's going to send down hailstones, and that'll be the end of it? I don't think so. In our humanness, we so often tend to think of God answering or working or doing things in strictly ordinary means. And that's why we need reminded again and again of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, or nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, when I was in that long siege sure seemed like a long siege, whereby bulging disc, you know, was creating havoc, pressing on my sciatic nerve, and I was in pain and hobbling around and all that. A passage of scripture from my morning devotions jumped out at me one morning, and I jotted that down, and I had it where I could see it and read it and ponder it again and again. It was like a promise from the Lord to work on my behalf. And I praise him today for what he did in regards to extending his grace to me over a period of time, and then also for doing a work of healing. But in verse 8 of our text, we have a promise that was given the Israelites. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." In verse 11, we read about the Lord casting down the large hailstones. In verse 14, it says that the Lord fought for Israel. In verse 19, it says, "And do not stay there yourselves, but pursue your enemies and attack their rear guard. Do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand." In verse 30, it says, "And the Lord also delivered it and its king into the hand of Israel." And then in verse 42, "All these kings and their land Joshua took at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel." So, here we are again. What are you facing? A Goliath? Opposition? A challenge? An issue? Whatever. Might be health related, physical issue, procedure needed. Surgery on Wednesday. Is it a spiritual issue? Perhaps the devil keeps trying to trip you up, trying to defeat you, to knock you down. Is it a relationship issue whereby things are a bit challenging right now? Whatever it is, let's keep in mind that the Lord is far greater than all of these things. Let's keep in mind that God is able to, if he chooses, he can use extraordinary means. Or he can work through ordinary means, but the fact of the matter is that he is able, because he is God. How great, in fact, is the God of the Israelites, our God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning praising you, rejoicing in you, thanking you for who you are. We come to you this morning as needy people. Lord, we just really need you. Help. We thank you that you are with us. We pray that you will continue to work things out that are needful. And we pray that you would be honored and glorified, and that we would indeed worship you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.